The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Future Proof Radio with host Shane Wolf. We can definitely change the world if we start with ourselves. In today's show, Shane and his guests will show you how the environment can be improved at home, at work, and in the community, as well as improve your health and save money. Now, here is Shane Wolf.
Hi, and welcome to Future Proof Radio. Thank you for joining us. My name's Shane Wolf, and today we're going to be talking about the Passive House Standard and how that can help us to live more sustainably and build a better world. But before we get into that, I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I'm a professional engineer. I'm also accredited with LEED, which is kind of the de facto go-to green building standard. I'm also trained as a certified energy auditor, and I have a training in thermal imaging as well as multiple other trainings and designations relative to my line of work. But for the last couple of years, I realized, you know, that the green building thing isn't really catching on as well as it should. So I've been working as an entrepreneur with my own startup company. And my goal is basically to help make sustainable buildings and sustainable living more common by spreading awareness and helping others in this space grow their businesses and work together, because we can only build a better world by working together. So I believe that we should do that. And I like to think of this as building like a future-proof society through our homes, our buildings, our communities, our infrastructure, and our ideas of what we can do. So as it said at the beginning of the show, you know, we must start with ourselves and explore ideas of the world and what is possible. And this show is to talk about what is possible rather than what we've been doing. You know, there's a lot of people who get hung up in what we currently do, and I believe that we can do a lot better. So what do we do and currently do? Like, what's preventing us from moving forward as a species? And we're going to explore these ideas today. So let's build a better world. And it starts with you understanding these things and talking about them with your friends and people around you, and you know, really just getting involved. Nothing changes through apathy. So really what we should be thinking about, and what I'd like to ask you to consider, is what kind of world do you want to live in? You know, what's the point of this? What is the economy for if not to make people's lives better? And if that's the point, then we should do what we can to ensure that we aren't destroying our planet and the systems of life on which we depend. And that's kind of what's going on right now. So we should really look at that and set some goals that can improve life. You know, shouldn't we make living better, living healthy and happiness the goals of our society, rather than, you know, just blindly chasing profits that are measured based simply on money alone? And, you know, like, we can use money, which is a non-physical commodity. It was invented so that people could trade value with each other. Let's use it as a tool to motivate people and to keep track of things, which is what it is for. It's really unlimited, so we shouldn't use it as a limiting factor with regards to how we build our society. I understand that, you know, we have to do this in the context of our individual lives, but we should be making sure that we can do things and we don't limit ourselves because of these things. So yeah, let's use it as a world, as a way to build a better place. And, you know, rather than destroying the things and the life around us, let's think a little bit more. It's this whole pattern we've got is completely unnecessary. And by the way, there's serious money and jobs and opportunity to be made by doing things better. And, that's what we're going to explore today. And, I want you to think about how you can benefit from doing this, both economically, socially, and environmentally. So let's live into the future and let's plan for a better future and build it together. and focus on what we can do. And by the way, if you want to reach out during the show, you can reach me at shane@futureproofradio.com. I'll do my best to answer any questions, or you can phone in with the number they give you during the show. And by the way, anything that I discuss, or my guest Guido and I discuss on this or any of Futureproof Radio, isn't to be taken as professional advice, as professional engineers and consultants. You know, we can only speak in generalities in this show. And so I don't know your specific instance, so this is not professional advice. We're simply speaking to generalities here. And that's just on the advice of lawyers with our professional associations. So, you know, please share this and take action, educate yourself. On the last episode, I spoke with a colleague of mine, Ron LePage, and we talked about the economics of building green. And this is a really awesome. My guest today is Dr. Guido Wimmers. He's one of the founding directors of the Passive House Institute. He's also the project lead for the first Passive House in Canada. Welcome, Guido.
Hey, Shane. Thanks for having me on your show.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for being here. Sorry I took so long at the beginning there. Could you please tell us a bit about yourself and, you know, why are you into Passive House, this kind of stuff?
Yeah. Short version or the long version. So, as you probably have heard already, I have a European, I have a German background. I grew up in the city of Aachen, which is right next to Holland, Belgium, etc. And this is also the hometown of Mies van der Rohe. So I got exposed to, you know, I went to Mies van der Rohe High School, so automatically you got some connection to the construction industry, to architecture, to buildings. And then my dad was director of a nuclear power plant. That was kind of the other main influence, I guess. You know, a lot of discussions about what we should or shouldn't do with energy, or how to conserve, how to generate it. And at some point I decided I wanted to study architecture, so I did a master in architecture. But later on, I realized, although I was always technically oriented, I wanted to really understand what I'm doing. So going one step further and educate myself further to fully understand, to at least to a larger degree, to understand what's happening in buildings. And I did a PhD in building science at the Faculty of Engineering in Innsbruck in Austria. And then later on, I think it was 2006 or so, in these years, so from basically 1999 and the following years, I was always working in the passive house industry. I was working at a non-profit consulting agency in Austria and focusing on building science, focusing on passive house and extremely energy efficient buildings. In 2006, I came in contact with a gentleman from British Columbia, Canada. He was a representative and touring around across Europe and talking about the first Green Olympics. And so a few friends around me and myself, we've had the idea we could actually contribute and build the Austrian Pavilion as a passive house for these Olympic Games in 2010. So 2007, I moved with my whole family. We moved to Vancouver, and I started to work in Vancouver. The Austria House in Whistler was the initial project, but then obviously a few more followed. And 2010, late 2009, we finished the Austria House. And 2010, I became a founding director of CANFI, Canadian Passive House Institute. So we decided that it's about time that Canada gets exposure to extreme energy efficiency and these kind of things, and offer building science-related courses across the country. And, well, the last thing, 2014, so this year, in July, I took on a new position as the chair of the new master program at UNBC, so University of Northern British Columbia, in integrated wood design. So the idea was to combine, obviously the material with the lowest environmental impact, if you compare it to concrete, steel, etc., wooden structures, and combine that with building science aspects, with acoustics, energy efficiency, and whatnot. So that's what the integrated stands for. So to summarize, I was exposed to Passive House relatively early in the late 90s because at that time I was living in Austria, and Austria is probably the country with the highest Passive House density in the world. And I started to work in that field now 15 years ago. And as it is with many, many of my colleagues, if you get once the Passive House bug kind of thing, if you get that, if you're infested with this, you never let it go. So that's certainly true for me as well.
Well, we definitely have a lot in common, spreading information about green building. Guido actually was my instructor in the Passive House training. It was a very excellent course, and I highly recommend it to anyone who's listening who's involved with construction, whether you're in the trades or you're a designer, engineer, architect. It's definitely worth taking, and I, this course that you're involved with now, Guido, maybe do you want to talk about that briefly now, or should we wait for the end to talk about wood and how wood is good?
Yeah, I'm not sure about all the listeners, about you guys, how familiar you are with Passive House, but generally Passive House is an energy efficiency standard created in European countries, mainly in Germany by Wolfgang Feist, but there have been some similar projects in other countries, Sweden, Austria, and there have been actually some quite important ancestors of Passive House, for example, right across the, in your area, Shane, in Regina, the Saskatchewan Conservation House. So also in North America, people have thought about high-performance housing. Anyhow, Passive House is most likely the first and really rigid approach to achieve an extremely high level of energy efficiency. Bottom line, we're talking about factor 10. So at least the heating energy we can typically reduce down to 10%, so reduce it by 90%. Plug loads and other energy consumption can be reduced significantly as well. So it's safe to say, compared to current code house, depending a little bit on your climate zone, but you probably save at least 70, 80, up to 90% of your energy consumption. And while you do that, you're living actually in a much more thermally comfortable environment, in a much more healthy environment. Mm-hmm. So, and that was something which was quite intriguing for me from the very beginning, to really understand that less environmental impact is not just an idealistically good thing, but it's an egoistically very good thing, because you're living much healthier and much more comfortable.
Well, in this climate, and just for anyone who's not familiar with the show already or what I've done, you can check out, I wrote a book to basically summarize the lessons of Passive House and the Saskatchewan Conservation House. You can get a free version by going to my website, futureproofmybuilding.com, and basically that was written to kind of summarize the different features of various green building standards and things. I personally live in Saskatchewan, Canada, which is one of the coldest and harshest climates in the world. You know, it's different in Vancouver where you're at there, Guido, but we have to take a break right now. So maybe when we come back, we can talk a bit about Passive House and the differences between our climate zones.
We'd love to. Looking forward to it.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your questions. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Do you work in the construction industry and provide a service that heals our planet? Do you take pride in helping your customers save money and fight climate change? Does your product save energy or contribute to a healthier and more sustainable building? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then Shane Wolf can help you market your eco-friendly product or service by reaching and educating your potential customers. Our mission at FutureProofMyBuilding.com is to remove the barriers traditionally associated with building above and beyond the code. We want to make it easier for you to provide a more valuable, higher efficiency, more sustainable building with your products and services. As a trusted service provider or product seller of FutureProofMyBuilding.com, you can now reduce your time and effort trying to explain the long-term benefits versus the short-term cost to your customers and leave that job to us. That way, you can spend your time doing what you do best, building green. Let's build a better world together. Register your business now at futureproofmybuilding.com/register.
News. Opinion. Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Future Proof Radio. To reach Shane Wolf or today's guest, please call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788, or send an email to Shane at futureproofradio.com. Now, back to this week's show.
Hi, and welcome back to Future Proof Radio. Today we're talking about Passive House with my guest, Dr. Guido Wimmers from Passive House Institute, Canfee West in Vancouver. And before the break, we were just discussing the advantages and just talking a little bit about Passive House. And, you know, depending on where you are, these we don't want to talk too much in terms of specifics, but we're going to talk a little bit about climate. And, you know, the climate in Vancouver is much different than here in Saskatoon. We had a very warm day today here in Saskatoon. I think it was only -5. What's it like there right now, Guido?
Well, as I mentioned before, actually, I'm not in Vancouver anymore. I'm now in Prince George in British Columbia,
and we have had
-6. So it's a relatively cold area here as well. But, you know, as I mentioned, I mean, Passive House is climate independent. So the standards, the way it was set up with only a very few, basically we're talking about 5 criteria here. 5 numbers you have to hit, and then you're in. Everything is performance-based. The concept, how it was designed, was very much on purpose that it is climate-independent. So there are passive houses actually built in the tropics as well as in the Arctic Circle. Yes, you do need slightly different, you need different components, etc., but at least the concept itself, the standard, is climate-independent, and you can reach it in almost every region, or at least we can capture probably more than 95% of all human beings on this planet.
But, see, and that's really interesting because, you know, like the different climate zones really affect things. The main goal is more or less energy reduction, is it not?
Yes. The main, everything is about energy efficiency. So if you compare a building in Vancouver to one in Saskatoon, for example, or in other cold climate zones, yeah, you're probably going to need 2, 3, 4 inch more insulation. That really depends on the size, the purpose of the building. By the way, we should point out that Passive House, Wolfgang Feist, who invented developed all the scientific background, et cetera, and invented the standard, he coined a German word, Passivhaus, and it seems to be very easy to translate the German word Passivhaus into English, but something got lost in translation, we probably should call it passive building, because passive house doesn't mean we were limited by any means to a small residential. So it depends on how big, how large your building is. The tallest passive house is 28 floors, so we can obviously build passive house in various sizes, and then it depends how thick, et cetera, how well insulated your envelope has to be. But besides the energy conservation and the energy efficiency, that's the main goal, true. But I think the almost kind of positive side effects are the main selling argument here. It is about healthy living. It's about thermal comfort. And it's about, well, you called even your company future-proof. It's about being future-proof. It's about, you know, being not so much dependent on whatever games will go on in the world over the next 10, 20, 30 years. You're living in a very almost self-sustaining, very comfortable environment, and you're not you're not dependent so much on whatever energy source.
Well, and that's a very key thing, and another key thing I think is, you know, safety, because you know, here in Saskatoon, if we ever have an issue, you know, whether it's an economic price hike with regards to our sources of energy, or if it's an emergency such as an ice storm that happened in Toronto last year, you know, you're not going to freeze in such a building, and that's a huge thing, and it's something that most people don't consider when they're building a home or when they're thinking about, you know, what they want. And a lot of people actually don't think about their comfort either until that heat doesn't come on when they need it, you know, or even the cooling doesn't come on until they need it. So yeah, thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, at the end, it's all about passive survivability, right? So we try to get rid of as many active components as we can to just reduce our energy consumption, our energy losses. And that means our heating systems and everything else don't have to be that sophisticated, or don't have to be that complex anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's also a nice trade-off too, because, you know, you might spend a little bit more on an insulation and on the envelope, what's called the envelope of the building, but then you save money also on the mechanical system. And the other really great thing that I think a lot of people don't think about is, you know, you might spend, even if you do spend a little bit more on the building itself, you're actually paying yourself every month when you're paying your mortgage down, rather than paying your money to a utility company for the energy that they would be selling you. And as you know, the prices of energy fluctuate. You know, right now we're seeing oil dip really low, and I don't understand how a limited commodity that the world needs to move away from should be dropping in price so rapidly, other than to fool us. But that's my own personal thing. But you know, it's smart not to be dependent on systems that are beyond our control. So this is a way that you're guaranteed to do that if you're building to passive house standard. And I highly recommend this training and education to people in the construction industry, because it's very important, and very it's something that you should understand.
You touched already on one, I think, very important topic, and that's always construction cost, its price, it's the financial aspect. But I think this is also one, beside the scientific rigor and this well-thought-through concept of passive house, this is also one of their key strengths, because passive house is aiming at affordability in the very first place. Yes, your building is going to cost you slightly more, because a thicker wall, better windows, a better ventilation system, all these kind of things will cost you eventually a little bit more. That's true. But at the same time, you're saving energy costs and maintenance costs. And the simple calculation you always should do is aiming at monthly cost of ownership. If you're a house owner of a small residential building, or if you're the owner of an office building, at the end, it doesn't really matter. You have to take a look at the monthly costs to operate this building and to finance this building. And that's the great advantage, because their passive house since 25 years, since existence, is the most cost-efficient way to build buildings. It's certainly much more cost-efficient than a cold building.
Well, and that's a very important point that people, you know, some of us might be more interested in the energy savings and, you know, protecting the environment. I wrote a headline today that said, you know, what if we could save 90% of the energy in our society? You know, and passive house is about, you know, saving 90% of the energy in our buildings, but our buildings are actually the biggest users of energy in our society. So if we could cut it that much for the 50% or 40 to 50% of the energy used in our societies through our buildings, if we could cut it by 90%, that's a huge dent in the damage that we're doing to the environment and ultimately to ourselves. And that's kind of what this program is about, is to think, you know, so what if there is a little bit of extra cost and it's done properly and it actually saves you money over the long term and is actually something measurable, both economically and in terms of comfort. You know, you touched on comfort earlier about, you know, no drafting and the sound. You don't hear all the noises outside, you know, better lighting, better air distribution.
Yeah, you would automatically ask yourself, why is not everybody doing it anyway?
Exactly. It's exactly it. It doesn't make sense when you actually understand these things, other than people don't really want to change the way that they do things. And that's, you know, human nature is to resist change. But in many cases, such as in this case, it's information and it's techniques that have, you know, passive solar design has been around for 3,000 years, yet it's not something that we do as a standard in our society. And so, you know, it's bringing about this information that is really going to change things. And we've got to go to a commercial here right away. So if you want to get more information, canfiewest.ca is the website for...
Yes.
For Passive House now. And you can also get... my book from futureproofmybuilding.com and learn more about this stuff. I've got follow-ups so that you can learn about, you know, the economics of building green and the opportunities, because you know, another great thing about this is we pay people locally to do work that reduces our dependence on something which is, you know, damaging the environment and costing us more. And isn't if we're going to use the economy to make jobs, why don't we make them in every single city across every single country and set ourselves free? Wouldn't that be wonderful? You know? So we're going to head to a commercial, and when we come back, let's talk a little bit about net zero living and how Passive House fits into that, because that's a huge thing. And Passive House is definitely in line with that. So we'll talk about that when we come back.
Ask the experts. Call toll free right now. 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Do you work in the construction industry and provide a service that heals our planet? Do you take pride in helping your customers save money and fight climate change? Does your product save energy or contribute to a healthier and more sustainable building? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then Shane Wolfe can help you market your eco-friendly product or service by reaching and educating your potential customers. Our mission at FutureProofMyBuilding.com is to remove the barriers traditionally associated with building above and beyond the code. We want to make it easier for you to provide a more valuable, higher efficiency, more sustainable building with your products and services. As a trusted service provider or product seller of FutureProofMyBuilding.com, you can now reduce your time and effort trying to explain the long-term benefits versus the short-term cost to your customers and leave that job to us. That way, you can spend your time doing what you do best, building green. Let's build a better world together. Register your business now at futureproofmybuilding.com/register.
News. Opinion. Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Future Proof Radio. To reach Shane Wolfe or today's guest, please call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788, or send an email to Shane at futureproofradio.com. Now, back to this week's show.
Hi, and welcome back to Future Proof Radio. Today we're talking about Passive House, and with me is Dr. Guido Wimmers from the Canadian Passive House Institute. And right before the break there, we were talking a little bit about the benefits, and I wanted to touch on, you know, net zero living and the Living Building Challenge, which is actually the topic of next week's show, and lead and just kind of fit into those and talk about how what are the obstacles and barriers to this. So I guess, Guido, you know, maybe we should talk a little bit about what net zero is and how Passive House fits into that.
Yeah, I mean, generally speaking, net zero is just the balance of that you consume as much energy as you also generate on site. So in that sense, net zero doesn't say anything about energy efficiency. It just says I'm producing as much energy on site as I'm consuming. Mm-hmm. So far, the theory. In the real world, that automatically means, well, you have to be more energy efficient, otherwise your system to generate energy is getting way too expensive.
Yeah, and especially now. But those systems are changing and dropping in price. The thing I really like about net zero living, too, is it kind of touches back on what we were saying earlier was, you know, rather than paying a utility company or you know, you're actually paying yourself. You're taking your money and you're investing it in a guaranteed payback and in something which is a physical asset in the real world. So, sorry to cut you off there, but...
Yeah, no worries. And yes, you're right. I mean, it becomes much more affordable these days than it was five years ago or so. But still, if you do today's calculation, energy conservation is still the most cost-efficient method. So if you compare, you know, the cost of a safe kilowatt hour versus the cost of a generated kilowatt hour, you will always be, or at least up to a certain degree, and interesting enough, that sweet spot hovers somewhere around the Passive House requirements. So it is, I think, in terms of sustainability, in its true sense, it makes sense to conserve as much energy as we can when it's financially and technically feasible, especially if it comes with a nice benefit of healthy living and summer comfort. Mm-hmm. And if we do that up to that point, and that's basically where Passive House is, from there on, if you then want to go one step further, then you should invest into energy generating systems, and then it becomes also financially relatively feasible to aim at net zero.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if you really look at this also from the big picture, I mentioned this in the last show, was, you know, if you are a utility company and or you're in a growing area and your infrastructure is becoming outdated or at capacity, when you really look at the big picture, it makes a lot more sense to reduce the loads and the draw on the system from an economic perspective, as we're talking about, because now you don't need to spend several hundred million dollars on new generation capacity or, you know, new systems. And like in terms of those systems, the world is changing so fast that by the time these projects, you know, get built, you actually got a completely different set of systems that can replace them or act on them. And from an environmental standpoint, I think that's something that that decision makers need to look at, and, you know, we should all look at, because it's a lot easier to change light bulbs than to you know, reduce the heating loads of our buildings than it is to go and dig up a whole bunch of new resources to cover those
right.
losses.
And I think also in terms of energy conservation, I mean, if you take a look at our residential, our houses, our apartments, whatever, the by far the biggest chunk of our energy consumption across, let's say, the northern part of North America is clearly the heating bill. That's mm-hmm. different, obviously, in the southern part of North America, but that is certainly the case for entire Canada, plus the northern half almost of the United States. So to reduce that portion, that's the easiest way to do that with, you know, better insulated walls, better insulated windows, etc. And all these kind of components, they, their lifetime is much, much longer than for any mechanical system. So if you invest a little bit more money into a much better envelope for your building, no matter what the size is, we are talking here about single-family house as well as large office buildings. So, you know, as long as you invest more into your envelope, it's a much more sustainable approach because that envelope will last for decades. Your mechanical system, probably over the lifetime of a building, has to be exchanged, I don't know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times.
Well, and when you really think about it, too, think of all the economic activity that this generates from doing this work and from actually doing these things properly. You know, there's people in controls, there's people in insulating, there's windows, there's, you know, finishing work. There's so much opportunity to do these things, and they're traditionally not looked at by, you know, renovation shows or by the traditional media, because it's not something that people actually see and can grab onto and go, that's pretty, I like that aesthetically type of thing. But it is something that has tremendous benefit and an economic benefit in terms of what you're saving from energy, but also comfort. We mentioned sound earlier. Maybe we should talk a little bit about how this fits into other green building standards. I mentioned the Living Building Challenge, which is next week's topic. Do you want to speak on that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, if we approach it from kind of from a historical point of view, probably net zero was the first one because already I know examples from the 60s or so when people were aiming at net zero. Back then with different methods than today, but that was always already the case. Passive house, we have also, well, we also found some pretty old examples. But anyhow, passive house was invented in 1990, and the modern net zero came quite a bit later, as well as LEED or Living Building Challenge, which is kind of the newest kid on the block, if you will. So from my point of view, we're all going in somewhat in the same direction. So we all have common goals, obviously, and there is not much of a difference. The difference might be in the detail, and in details, you know, as it is with highly motivated from an ideological point of view, motivated people, you can discuss a lot of things about details. From my point of view, passive house fits perfect because it reduces the energy consumption drastically. It's scientifically proven. It's well evaluated. We know that it works. And it's a perfect addition to LEED, to Living Building Challenge, or to net zero. I would go even so far to say if you want to achieve something like net zero or Living Building Challenge, you have to build a passive house anyway. That's basically the route you have to go through if you want to do it in a financially meaningful way.
Mm-hmm. And just to fill people in, the Living Building Challenge is essentially building a building that is has no negative effect on the environment. They have they use the analogy of a flower, which is basically like something which belongs where it is beautiful, you know, produces its own energy, produces its own water, doesn't produce toxic effects. And so we'll talk about that in next week's episode, but I completely agree with Guido. You know, we should be using as many opportunities as we can to reduce energy consumption. And by the way, energy consumption isn't just measured in how much you're using in the building. It's also used and measured by the materials put into the building. Am I correct in that?
Yes, absolutely. You're correct. I mean, even if that's actually not really covered by the passive house standard, the passive house standard is purely focusing on whatever the 50 years or more of lifetime or lifespan of the building. It's not factoring in the energy you needed to actually build that building, the embodied energy. But I totally agree. This is also something we should do, and that's what I'm also doing currently with our new Master of Engineering program in integrated wood design, because obviously wood is so far at least, in a large scale, the only renewable building material we have. So in 1 cubic meter of wood, you can store, you can sequester 1 ton of CO2. If you compare that to steel or concrete or other materials, they actually emit during the process of their production. It's very energy intensive, and they emit a lot of carbon. With wooden buildings, it's the opposite. We're actually storing. It's a carbon sink. We are storing carbon for the next 50, 80 years, whatever the lifetime of that building is.
Mm-hmm.
So the embodied energy, the type of construction is certainly something we have to focus on as well.
Well, if you care about fighting climate change, you need to think about where the carbon is going to be stored, and it's been stored underground for millions of years. There's a great book called Reinventing Fire, and there's a TED Talk also about the book, and they say in the TED Talk that every year human beings burn 4 cubic miles worth of carbon. So that's like, you may imagine 32 football fields wide by 32 football fields long by 16 football fields high. That's a lot of carbon. And
big.
That's a lot of carbon. And how some people could argue that it's not actually affecting the Earth's climate or the atmosphere or the systems of life that we depend on for our survival. I don't know how they could argue that, but that's a lot of carbon, and we need to put it somewhere. We need to absorb it. A lot of it's being absorbed by the ocean, which is actually acidifying the ocean right now. And the more that we can store in the things that are going to last for a long time, such as our buildings, the better. And I mean, that obviously has to be done in a sustainable manner as well. We can't just go chopping down the forests to build new things and hope that that's going to solve the problem. It has to be done in a reasonable and responsible way, but it's definitely building material, which is useful.
Touching on a very sensible point there, because when we talk about large scale using wood products in large scale, then sure, fair enough, clear cuts and all these kind of things come to people's mind, and that is very true. So this is clearly something we have to work on. That only works if we do have a sustainable forest industry. That means that forest industry takes care of these almost kind of plantation-style areas where we use woods, where we harvest woods in a, depending on the climate, 40, 50, 60-year cycle, something like that. And but on the other end, 2 weeks ago I've been at a convention back in Europe, in Munich, and a gentleman from the Club of Rome was talking to us, and basically what he said is the simple fact that our population has right now 7 billion over the next 30 years will grow to 10 billion. The only way to create housing for these people is the material wood, because if we would try to do that with concrete and steel, the energy consumption goes throughout the roof, and pollution will go also throughout the roof. So reducing embodied energy, using renewable materials in the construction business, is pretty much the only solution which we have over the next 30, 40 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got to go to a commercial right away here, but just in case you're listening to this and skeptical of wood, there are still churches in Europe that have been around since the 600s. So it is something that can last if it's done properly and maintained well. But unfortunately, in our society, we don't seem to build things for last, which is another whole issue in itself. And maybe we'll touch on that when we come back.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com. Do you work in the construction industry and provide a service that heals our planet? Do you take pride in helping your customers save money and fight climate change? Does your product save energy or contribute to a healthier and more sustainable building?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, then Shane Wolf can help you market your eco-friendly product or service by reaching and educating your potential customers. Our mission at FutureProofMyBuilding.com is to remove the barriers traditionally associated with building above and beyond the code. We want to make it easier for you to provide a more valuable, higher efficiency, more sustainable building with your products and services. As a trusted service provider or product seller of FutureProofMyBuilding.com, you can now reduce your time and effort trying to explain the long-term benefits versus the short-term cost to your customers and leave that job to us. That way, you can spend your time doing what you do best, building green. Let's build a better world together. Register your business now at futureproofmybuilding.com/register.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Future Proof Radio. To reach Shane Wolf or today's guest, please call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to Shane at futureproofradio.com. Now, back to this week's show.
Hi, welcome back to Future Proof Radio. My name's Shane Wolf. I'm with Dr. Guido Wimmers, and we're talking about Passive House today. We've talked about a lot of different subjects over the last 45 minutes, and we wanted to touch on the obstacles and barriers because obviously, you know, this is something that is very beneficial to our society and to you if you're considering building a home or a mall or an office tower or a hospital or whatever it is. You know, there's definite benefits to you to doing this. So what is your number one thing, Guido? What do you think is the biggest obstacle and barrier to people doing this?
Wow. The biggest, I'm not sure. It's I don't dare to rank. I mean, obviously, the construction industry itself is a relatively conservative and relatively slow-moving industry.
That's very true. There's a lot of risk involved in construction.
If you think about the Romans, when they started to invent concrete and how long it took that we actually use concrete in a large scale for high-rises or anything, that was 2,000 years in between almost.
Yeah, that's...
I think we've seen you know, a lot of concrete structures, and then especially the last 100 years or so, much more in steel. And now we see much more in wooden structures and also the energy efficiency, the green building, and all these kind of things.
I was going to say, like, do you think that education is the barrier, or is it the materials that people are familiar with?
I think one thing clearly is education. The other one is energy price and our economic system, which makes it much easier to sell a lot of energy and doesn't make it very attractive to save energy. That's a much more in-depth political, economical and issue for us. But
wouldn't it be nice in our society if we actually tracked the damage done by certain activities rather than just how much they can be provided to the public, even when they're subsidized by our tax dollars?
Yeah,
to the tune of billions of dollars.
We're paying some kind of energy costs these days, but not the true cost, right? So we're in depth of the next generation because all the damage we do to the environment, etc. At some point, it has to be paid, and most likely that's going to be our kids and their kids.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the thing. It's like we don't value clean water. If we did, I don't see why certain practices like fracking or, you know, what happened in the Gulf Coast there, that was a horrible tragedy. And, you know, I don't know the repercussions of that per se, but, you know, there's a lot of costs to the way that we currently extract and use energy that are not paid by anybody. They're borne by the environment and by our healthcare system and by our children and by our bodies.
we're not
looking at the big picture.
I don't want to go on ranting about the oil industry or anything, but you know, if you see statistics, how many hundreds of oil spills you have across Canada each year, or these kind of things, who's going to pay for that? I mean, but again, I don't want to go on ranting about this. I think at the end, it's about education. It's about, because passive house in particular, for example, even today, after 25 years of existence and quite a bit of experience and thousands and thousands and thousands of projects out there, it seems to be very unbelievable for people because they haven't heard about it, and it just sounds too good to be true.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said that there's something like 40,000 different projects across the world that are passive house certified now?
Yeah, I think that was about 2 years ago or so. Because basically from 2016 on, passive house is kind of code requirement across the EU. Right now you have 500 million people building new constructions with basically a passive house equivalent. So now it's an exponential growth, and I have no idea how many buildings are out there. Here in North America, we are at the very beginning.
Yeah, and you think about that on a societal basis. I mean, every building being built there is now uses 1/10 as much energy as a conventional building built here in North America. Like, what is that going to do for our economy when the prices of these things go up? And they should go up because they're destroying the environment. So let's do something about that. Let's employ people locally to do a better job. And the Europeans, I mean, I've been to Europe and I love it there. But you can't see the pollution that's there. And I don't think that we should put our health and our environment at risk. We got to go to the end of the show here. Do you have anything to add before we end here, Guido?
Well, just one simple comment. I mean, I've been in Europe too, and I love it here, actually. So I think it is a very interesting time where we're living in, and so many different chances and so much to do. I always would love to approach that from a very positive point of view. There are so many opportunities for all of us to really change, to do, you know, come up with startups, to change your business practice, to give your company a new profile, and really be one of the leaders in that industry. That's a huge chance we have here because we are living, obviously, in a different environment than the Europeans do. So I rather would like to see that in a very positive way. We have all the chances for the next 10 years or so to change things drastically.
Well, you just basically plugged my business, Guido, so thank you, because that's basically the intent that I had when I came up with the idea for Future Proof My Building, is to, you know, unite people under this idea. And like, my book is a simplification. It's something that a business who sells passive house or, you know, a higher efficiency can send to their customers and say, here's something that you can use to understand why we want to do this type of work for you. And it's available through my website, futureproofmybuilding.com. And I've got an affiliate program to help charities and different groups raise money by promoting this idea so that, you know, more people understand it. Because the more people that understand this stuff, the sooner it's going to catch on. And the better it is for all of us in the end. So I want to thank you very much for joining me, Guido, here. And, you know, the things that we're doing in our world are only going to change through awareness. So, you know, learn what you need to do to make a difference. And don't be apathetic. You can join me on Facebook, futureproofmybuilding.com, or follow me on Twitter, futureproofcx. Are you on Twitter?
I'm not on Twitter, but the new program, which is all about what you're describing at UNBC, University of Northern British Columbia, it will start a blog relatively soon over the next few weeks. And our intention is to, everything what we discussed, to lift it to a scientific level, to lift it on an engineering level, and, you know, get really serious about it.
And that sounds like a great program. If you're interested in construction or interested in building a better world, it'd be something to do. Join us next Tuesday. My guest is Eric Corey Freed. He's the Vice President of the Living Building Challenge in San Francisco, and I'm really looking forward to speaking with him because that is a very important thing for the world, and it's an extension from what we're talking about today. So thank you for joining us, and don't forget, everything starts with you. Let's create something new and better for everyone. Let's future-proof the world. And if you have questions or comments, please email me at shane@futureproofradio.com. Nothing in this program is to be taken as professional advice, but I don't think we really gave any of that today. And, you know, educate yourself and make a difference. Please share this, and let's build a better world. Thank you very much for listening, and thank you, Guido, for joining me.
Thanks for having me. Have a good night.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you for making Future Proof Radio a part of your week. Please join your host, Shane Wolfe, for another edition next Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. See you on the next show.